Turn to the 14th chapter of Revelation. We'll read this chapter today. Good to see you. Glad you made it. There's 20 verses, and that'd be 10 apiece. So why don't we stand and read this, and you read a verse, and try to stay with each other. And then I'll read a verse, and so on through the chapter. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads.
And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard a voice of harpers harping with their harps.
And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth.
These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God.
And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God.
And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people.
Saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made earth, a heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters.
And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.
And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand,
the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb.
And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name.
Here is the patience.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them.
And I looked, and behold, a great cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle.
And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.
And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped.
And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and also having a sharp sickle. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God.
And the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even the 24 ounces, by the space of 1,600 furlongs.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can gather freely and study it, preach it, and teach it. Live it. God, you've been so good to us. We want to give you thanks for all the great salvation, the great knowledge we have, for having the Word of God in our hands and having the opportunity of living a free land.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for all the present gifts that you've given us. Give me freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. I ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Be seated, please. Well, good to see you. Everybody must have got back from vacation. I don't know exactly how to name this thing. I don't ever name a lot of things. But there's just so many angels in this one. I thought, man, what a chapter of angels. You see, an angel, another angel, another angel, another angel, and so on down. Like, you know what that means? That means God's taking a personal hand. You ever thought about that? When an angel moves, it's on a message and a ministry for God. And what we're going to see in chapter 14 are a bunch of angels, and they're not messing around. These are mighty people that are, I don't know, is an angel a person? I'm just not sure. They're created beings, created especially for service to God. And here, we're not having some of the things that we've had before. We're having these angels going out with specific ministries. And it's over and over all through this chapter. So, it's an interesting chapter to me. I'm going to try to teach it all in the next 45 minutes. And so, I'll try to finish chapter 14. Verses 1 through 5 are about the Lamb and the 144,000. Look at it again. I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God into the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Isn't that something? Here's the 144,000. Firstfruits of Israel. Think about that. All these are Jews. 12,000 out of each tribe. You got 12 tribes, you got 12,000 men. They're all men. They're not married men. Said they were virgins. And he said right there that they follow the Lamb. They're the first fruits of his army and the first fruits of bringing Israel back. You know why a lot of people tell you that you can't believe what you read in the book of Revelation? They don't like what it says. They don't like the idea that God is not through with Israel. That God is still going to give them that land. But you have to deny an awful lot of scripture to get that to fit. It just doesn't fit. And you have to be like Todd was talking about. He got on the internet and the guy said, you can't believe these words aren't what they really mean, you know, and they're not the true word. They are the true word. That's a simple thing. Once you accept that, you have to face something you don't like. You don't like the God you find here. I don't think any of you like that kind of a God. We like a God that gives us when we have need, hurts when we hurt. You know, you watch TV and they'll have some ad and they'll show this poor little old puppy dog. He's just been misused, mistreated, ugly, and your heart goes out. You want to cry. And they'll have some little kids, some little maybe African and Asian kids. And they got to walk 6 miles to get water, and it's dirty water. And you want to cry. And you think God is worrying and crying just like you. But when you read the book of Revelation, you get a different picture of God. What do you find? You find a judge. You find a God. Now let me make one thing clear, real clear. Get it in your mind. You don't want the God you make up. He's not the God of the Bible. The God you make up, not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is a warrior. God of the Bible demands absolute holiness. The God of the Bible wants repentance. And as I said, I think last week, he doesn't want your best. He wants perfection or repentance. It's perfection or repentance. It's not your best. Your best won't get you into heaven. Your best won't get your sins forgiven. Now here's this God, and we're seeing the end times. And here are the things the things we've already read ought to scare the living daylights out of you. Except that we're not going to be there. I thank God. I sure am hoping I'm right on premillennial rapture of the church. I believe I am. I believe it's exactly what the book teaches here. Look, if you will, at Ezekiel 36:26. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you. I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the corn and wheat, and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. New heart, new spirit. How about a new song? That's what they're singing. We have also in the Psalms, look at Psalm 40, verse 3. I'll put a new song. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Well, it says right here that 144,000, these Jewish men, I personally believe that they're going to be the big preachers. They're going to be protected so that they can't be killed until a certain time, and they're going to go around the world preaching the gospel, and I believe people are going to be saved. I believe some of the people you and I didn't reach, some of the people our missionaries didn't reach, some of the people these new tribes missionaries didn't reach are going to hear the gospel out of that 144,000. And I think that's why God started it. He's getting ready to bring in and have 1,000 years where Israel is the head of all nations and where Christ is the king of the world. That's fantastic. Now we look at Revelation 14:3, new song, before the throne and before the beast. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. You know, I can't say God gave me a song. I'm not that musical. But I tell you what, when I got saved, I had joy in my heart like I'd never known. I had joy in my heart like I had never known. I remembered being convicted many times in hearing some good preacher of the gospel. And I would think, no, I really don't do that. Take away all my fun. I've had more fun the last 60 years, and there's nothing bad to go along with it. You know, praise God to get saved and to have a new song in your heart. I had a song in my heart. I used to walk around the school, and I'm always humming or something like that. Like I said, I'm not musical, but I do like the sound of it, and I hum. I sing the songs in my head all the time. I just don't hear it. And one little girl, teenager, she said, "Mr. Kincaid, you're a romantic." I said, "Why are you calling me a romantic?" He said, "You're always singing. You're always humming or singing." Well, I am. You know why? Because I'm saved. Praise the Lord. And that's what this did. 144,000 there. And they follow the Lamb with us every goeth. They were redeemed from men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Their mouth was no guile. And they stand without fault before the throne of God. And you know what it says then? It said, another angel. Another angel. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. Now, if the angel's flying, what's he on business for? God. If you see an angel flying, he's got a job. He's told him what to do. And that's what's happening right here. God is turning his angels loose. And he said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, had a lasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. To every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. There it is. The church is not going to finish the job. You know, there are some people, we call them millennialists, in their doctrine, because they believe that the church's job is to evangelize the world and make it holy so God can come back when it's holy. They believe in the return of Christ. But they believe the church does it. But church doesn't do it. We haven't done it yet. We've put the Bible in a lot of different languages already. There are people that have the Bible in their own language. And yet what you're going to do, you're going to take these people, going to preach the gospel. And this angel is going to preach the gospel to all of these nations. They're going to get their opportunity. Praise God. That's a wonderful piece of news right there. Amen. Now, they're in a bad time. You and I are in a good time. You are the luckiest, blessed people that ever lived.
Amen.
The poorest person in this room is wealthier, has more benefits, has more opportunities, has more comfort than 99% of the people born since Adam. Do you recognize that? I recognized it, but when I went to foreign countries such as Mexico and Guatemala and other places, boy, did it strike me how blessed I'd been to be born to a little country couple in Texas. Wow. Look at us. We're in an air-conditioned room. You say, I don't like that ceiling. I don't care whether you like it or not. I like it. Amen. I like all the work put into it. Some of you don't know how much work was put into that, but a lot of work come right out of the people right here and put that thing up. That's beautiful. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's air conditioned. In San Antonio, it's air conditioned. Do you believe that? I didn't grow up with air conditioning. My dad didn't get a television until I was 16 years old. I learned to read. That was my pleasure. I learned to read. Well, enough of that. That's one rabbit chased. Okay, everlasting gospel. And what's he saying? Here's the gospel he's preaching. Verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Didn't talk anything about evolution, did he? Did he talk about the scientists? No. God who made. There's a cute movie, The Bucket List. I personally like that movie. And the two are talking, and one is saying, you don't really believe that there's a being somewhere that actually created all. Yeah, I do. That's what I believe. I don't see how you could shake up all the materials of the world in a basket for 100 billion years and ever come out with a man. You realize how complicated you are? You are complicated. Your brain's complicated. How can you have 8 billion people and all of us different? In my years, I taught twins, identical twins. They're different. Now, the first day in class, I couldn't tell them apart. But give me a couple of months, I could tell which one was which. They're different. Brothers and sisters, are they all alike? They're raised by the same parents, in the same house, eat the same food, go to the same school. Are they alike? No, I got 5 kids all different night and day. They're different. They have different skills. They have different likes. They have different dislikes. And sometimes they're, and I raise them to be independent and hard-headed, and they are. Every stinking one of them is independent and hard-headed, and now then they're paying me back. Get an old man down and kick him. You got him down. Another angel. Okay, who are you supposed to worship? The one that made the whole thing. He doesn't have to be like you like him to be. He does not have to be like you think he ought to be. He's God. He's himself. And he's went to a lot of trouble to reveal himself. Why don't you read it and find out what he's like? Just believe what it says. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Don't take the Scripture to some expert somewhere. I have done my best when they would have some show like Noah or something like that, and they put it on the TV, and I'd think, well, you know, I like that. I really did like the Ten Commandments. There were a few things not scriptural in it, but mostly it was right down with the Bible, you know, pretty close. So I thought they did Darrell F. Zanuck did a good job when he did that. But I turned on it one time. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. The stupidest thing I ever saw. Absolutely stupidity. I didn't watch it very long, you know, about 5 minutes or so, and I had all I could handle. And that's the way I look at these things. These are documentaries on the TV and the science shows, documentaries. They should be digging things out. And in 5 minutes time, you know, the guy doesn't know the Bible like a 10-year-old Sunday school student. And these are experts, PhDs, THDs. They got the letters behind their name. They don't believe the book. Why don't you believe what it says? I changed my life. 50,000 churches to preach in after I've been preaching for 20 years on one verse of scripture. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I changed everything. I'm doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just because that book said that. And as I read it, I said, it's right. And that's why I believe in the God of the Bible. Not the God of your imagination. Not the God of your wishes. Not the God of your particular brand of Christianity. The God that's revealed in this book. And he's a scary fella. He's so big. You know, I've had little kids run down teenagers, you know, run down the hall. Now, I'm just a big old fat man, but these teenagers probably weighing 120 pounds, and they run into me and just bounce off and fall down. You gonna run into God? Have you thought about how big and tough he is? You gonna run into God? No, you're gonna just bounce off. He, in his mercy, gives you a way to find him. And he, in his mercy, has given a way for the whole world that didn't get to hear, going to hear by an angel and preaching the everlasting gospel. And what is that everlasting gospel is? Worship him that made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountain of the waters. He's the creator. He ought to be worshipped. And if you have a bad problem with that, repent of it.
Amen.
Repent of it. Bow down before God, who he is, not the God of your imagination, not the God of your reasoning, not the God of your church, the God that's revealed in the Bible.
Amen.
Okay. And then followed another angel. As I read this over and over again, I kept seeing another angel, another angel, another angel. Here's another angel. And he said, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she hath made all nations drink of the wine of her fornication. Woo. You didn't know Babylon was so big today, did you? Can you go find me Babylon today? Where was Babylon? Wasn't that Nebuchadnezzar? And Nebuchadnezzar was the great king, head of gold, Babylon? Yeah, how about that? Who's he talking about? Who is he talking about? Well, why don't you look at Revelation 16, verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts. Looks like it's alive and well. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Woo! He's talking about a city around. Oh, look, chapter 17, verse 5. And upon her forehead. Now, just the last part of verse 4, talking about the woman, she was full of abominations and filled her fornication. And forehead was name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. He's talking about a city. He's talking about Rome. Now, if you happen to be a Roman Catholic and you take offense at this, I'm sorry. But Rome has controlled a lot of nations. And popes have controlled a lot of wars and a lot of riches and a lot of wealth and a lot of garbage. And a lot of our religion comes from Babylon. Why? When Rome, Constantine, became a Christian, he had his soldiers baptized in the river with their sword arm, not baptized. Their sword belonged to Constantine. They gave their soul to God, supposedly. He was baptized in the river, and he conquered Rome. He became a Christian. He conquered in the name of Christ and in the sign of the cross. And then, after a while, first of all, he made Christianity legal. The second move he made, political move down the line, is he made the only religion of the Roman Empire. Whoa! All of these churches, even Christian churches, the church at Rome, church at other places, they had accepted all of these people into the church. Now, what do you think if we just said this west side of San Antonio has to be in one church and we're going to try to get along? Well, we wouldn't be using just the King James, I'm sure. Not by a vote of the people. We wouldn't be doing a whole lot of things that we do. We wouldn't be supporting the missions we've supported and a lot of things like that. Why? Because we'd have so many ideas. What are you going to do? Well, in Rome, remember, doesn't really have a culture of its own. Rome, their strength was being great soldiers. They conquered. They had the short sword, but it was an iron sword. And they had their battle thing. The real guys like Julius Caesar and Mark Antony and some of these others, they were great generals. And they got their power because of conquering territory. And you know what they did in every territory they went to? They took what they liked and left the rest behind. So the Roman gods are Greek gods. Roman culture is Greek culture. Well, Babylon had a two-week holiday at the end of the year. It was to the god of drink. We still got it. It's called Christmas. Now, I don't want to offend you, but look it up. Think about it a little bit. They had all of these people used to this celebration in Rome, and they're all getting drunk at the end of the year. And so the church decides to name it Christian. So they make Christ Mass. Well, that's even a bad name. There is no such thing as the Mass of Christ. You don't re-crucify Jesus every Sunday. When we take the Lord's table, it is not a crucifixion of Him, and it's not His blood, and it's not His body. It's symbolism and representative. But all you got to do is name it. Now, the Catholic Church is good for this. And that's all I think. Easter. Look at Easter. We had this year. Easter is a pagan celebration all the way back from Babylon. The Babylonian religion has passed down to us and become in our traditions through the Romans. Now, well, wait a minute. What about old Martin Luther? He's a college professor. He gets to reading the Bible. He says, whoa, this ain't the same as I've been taught and been teaching. And he makes a great move. Martin Luther makes a great move. He said, salvation's by faith without any works of the law. And he nailed 95 theses to the church door and took a stand on salvation by faith alone without any work or without the church or without whatever. Everything. And so the Lutheran come out, and I had a real good friend that was a Lutheran missionary with me in Guatemala, and we were talking one time, and I said, what are you doing here? And I'm just coming here to tell them they're saved. Let them make rejoice that they've been saved. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, we are really a revision out of the Catholic Church. We're just I can't think of the right word. The Catholic Church sort of reformed. We're like a reformed Catholic Church. Except for one thing. Salvation by faith alone. The Lutherans had that right. But Christmas, come on down. Believe me, Christmas was the greatest time of the year for me as I was growing up. Really loved it. I loved it. And when I came to the point to see what it was, and it's like Easter, it's fertility. Somebody said, what does eggs have to do with the crucifixion of Christ? It has nothing to do with the crucifixion of Christ. It has to do with when you plant your corn. It has to do when you plant things. Somebody said, did Christ rise? I had this year. Did Christ rise at a different time each year? No. Well, where do you get Easter? Spring equinox, day and night equal. First full moon, next Sunday. And all of the world plants like that. Farmers. These things came down through Babylon, through Rome, and then into our society. And it's a wonderful thing. A lot of love going out there. A lot of garbage, too. But it's not Bible. And I have a commitment to the Bible above anything else that I have. Above my background, above my family, above your family, to talk the truth. I even talked to my kids. I told my kids some things and some people thought you shouldn't talk to them like that young. No, I disagree with you. I think you ought to talk to yours a whole lot sooner. And you ought to tell them the truth when you're talking to them. So what is this mystery Babylon? It's Rome. And it's the Roman Catholic Church that has dominated so many things, and it's just not true. They just aren't true. And sorry to say it, but we still got a whole lot of it in us. But that's what he's talking about. Babylon has fallen. Her fornication, the compromises, the selling of indulgences, the granting of all sorts of things, the idea that a priest can forgive your sins. It is a wicked system. Now, I'm thankful they still believe in Jesus Christ and that he died for your sins. And I believe many Catholics get saved, but they don't get light. And so they can be saved. If they believe in Jesus Christ, they can be saved. Many of them don't get saved, though. And a whole lot of them is just a religion. Now, that's the Babylon. That's the mystery Babylon that we're talking about. And as we see the next few chapters, we're going to have two chapters going to deal really with her. Big, big mess right there. Anyway, verse 8, there followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen. That great city which made all nations drink of the wine of her wrath of her fornication. Fornication is a sexual sin. Fornication is two people having sex that aren't married. God had a way. He put it to you in his Bible right there at the beginning. One man, one woman. Jesus backed it up. And so it's a filthy thing. You realize that if you have sex with a bunch of partners, that you're actually having sex with everyone they ever were a partner with. You can just digress one time and you've had sex with 1,000 people. All of their germs are carried down. And their diseases are carried down. They're awful. They're wicked. They're awful. Well, what about religion? A lot of the garbage that we have in religion and in the church today is because of all of this contamination that's come into the church, and they don't let the Bible stand by itself. Or they're afraid to teach it. Because believe me, that's probably cost me more friends and more problems than almost anything that I've ever done. Would I go back? No, I wouldn't. I'm still going to take that stand. And I think I'm going to stand on it until the day I die. Because the garbage is still in the church. and it's even in the Protestant church, and it's even in our hearts and our thinking, because we don't see what's come behind us and the germs that have mixed together in idolatry and whatever and come into our religion. Well, I'll stop there on that one. Now, verse 9. And the third angel. Hey, we got another angel here, don't we? And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, verses like this cause a lot of people who call themselves Christians to not like the idea of God and to tell you the Bible doesn't mean what it says. I believe it means exactly what it says. I believe God is a jealous God. I believe He does not want you to worship any other God or religion. I believe that He has power and He is going to control the world, and it's going to happen as He sees it. And I believe that I, in all my great wisdom, can't figure it out. Neither can you. I read some of the smartest men that ever lived. I spent my life reading and thinking about what they said. We haven't even figured out the Trinity yet, fellas. We haven't figured out gravity yet either, have we? Scientists, they don't know what gravity is. They experiment with it. If they could do something about it, they would. They're trying. Somebody's spending millions of dollars trying to find some of these things out. Tell you something. God is God. And you know what gravity is? He says He holds the world in His hands. He holds them together. You know? It's God. It's the will of God. God set out a will and He put some laws in nature. Bless your heart, they're there. Who is He? He's God. Do you know what the word God means? Has He ever thought about it? It's not just what you think. It's this being. Yes, I believe there is a being with a brain so big and power so great that it would scare the living daylights out of it to walk up and meet Him. Don't defy Him. Don't deny Him. I came to Him and I got saved. Praise God. I came to Him in repentance. I said, I'd sinned against God. And you know what? God has been so good to me. Amen. All these years, God has been so good to me. Anyway, that's a pretty scary thing. Now, I know there are a lot of people in the world, just because of that doctrine right there, fire and brimstone, tormented fire and brimstone, presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment sendeth up forever and ever, no rest day nor night. Doesn't that scare you? It scares the living daylights out of me. Amen. That's what scared me like I saved. Now here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Look over at Revelation chapter 3, verses 8 and 10. In verse 8, I know thy works, talking to the church in Philadelphia. I set before thee an open door, no man can shut it. Thou hast little strength, hast kept my word, not denied my name. Look at verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what thou hast. What is the patience of the saints? Believe in the word. In spite of what you see, you look around today, you don't see some things you like. Boy, there's a lot I don't like. Sometimes I think it's just because I'm old. I remember about how I used to go with my cigarettes rolled up in my thing, and I thought I was something tough, you know. And I'd see old men look at me, and I didn't think I saw much appreciation in their eyes. That's sort of the way I feel right now when I look at a whole bunch of them. You understand? No. You idiot. Old men don't see things the way others do. Well, because of the Bible, I don't see things the way I used to see them, and maybe most of the world sees them. And here it is. The patience of the saints is, I believe the Bible now. I believe the Bible. I'm not going to call it wrong in any place. Now, that causes me some problems. I don't like problems. I don't like problems with anybody. But look at verse 15. Well, I take it back. Verse 14. I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like a son of man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel, hey, we got another one here? Another angel came out of the temple, this is in heaven, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. There's a reaping time coming. You've been looking... They sometimes say it on television, they want closure. You know, somebody's been convicted of killing somebody or whatever, and the family's wanting to see him hung or electric chair or something done to him, and the trial is slow and slow and slow. They want closure. Well, God's getting ready to figure out closure. He's going to bring closure to the earth right here. You know what he's reaping? People. Do you ever think of yourself as a grape? Have you ever had a good grape? Have you ever had a bad grape? I grew some. Some were good and some were bad. They weren't all worth the trouble I went to. Some of them were, but some of them weren't. The birds got most of them, though, from out of my garden. Hard to reap them. You know what he's reaping? He's reaping men. He's reaping souls. You're going to reap one of these days. The earth was reaped. Another angel, verse 17, came out of the temple, which is in heaven, also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire, cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Now, you know that symbolism. Grapes are people. The earth is going to be reaped. God is looking for good grapes. He's looking for a good crop, but he's not finding it. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the harsh bridles. That's pretty deep blood. By the space of 1,600 furlongs. 1,600 furlongs is about 200 miles. I don't know how big the Valley of Megiddo is. You've heard of Armageddon? That's the Valley of Megiddo. That great battle that's going to take place? Well, you're reading something about it right there. In John 5:22, just an interesting thought. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Every time you see God on the judgment throne, you're seeing Jesus Christ. What is Revelation about? It's about judgment. Judgment's coming. Can you see it coming? You think it's going to come next year? I have no clue. I used to think it was coming, but I didn't think. I had one day equal to 1,000 years, and so the 7,000 years supposed to be the reign of Christ. It didn't work out that way, or my calendar's wrong. I don't know when God's coming. And anybody that tells he's coming in 1988, he was mistaken. He was not a prophet of God. If you make a prophecy and it's not true, you know, it calls you a false prophet. Well, we had a bunch of false prophets this last generation. You know what? Your job's to be ready.
Amen.
And your job's not to be ready for this. God's showing you what's going to happen. Your job's to be ready for the rapture. Jesus is coming for you, the church.
Amen.
And you and I are going to be riding on white horses, dressed in white robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he's going to be dressed in blood. Wow. I think this is a very interesting book. And don't forget, all judgment is in the hands of Jesus. He lived it. He came here, he lived what you lived. He went through what you went through. He was tempted like you were tempted. He was wrongly accused. He was wrongly killed. He did it all. And he conquered. And he's the judge. All judgment under the sun. I just think there's a lot of angels in this chapter. Praise the Lord.